Accession number 30303, Aerial 1.
Good afternoon, Reverend Dixon.
Good afternoon, Lydia.
Can I get you just to introduce yourself, please?
Well, looking over the years, I suppose I'm like so many. Still in the go in the 80s, but remember Alamein very well in North Africa.
And can you tell us your full name, please?
John Chisholm Dixon.
Okay. And which year were you born?
I was born in 1920.
Okay.
And March 1920.
And at the beginning of the war, were you called up or did you volunteer?
Yeah, I was really called up because I was a student and I was waiting to be called up. I knew I would be called up. So I must have been about 19.
And did you live in the Aberdeen area at the time or...?
Yes, I was a student at that time in architecture. Lived more in the Kintore and Brewery area, but very often in lodgings, of course. But I knew the town very well, and many people, of course, in the town.
And did you have, at that point, did you have any association with the army? Had you been in the army cadets or anything?
Well, I'd known a lot of terriers, as we call them. And had a cousin who unfortunately was killed after he came home in an accident after coming through everything, just a tragedy. But I was friendly with a lot of my own peers, you might say, who as many had volunteered. But I knew that I would be called up very soon, so I joined up with a number of people who I knew in those days. So we're all together for a time.
And do you remember the date when you got in your call-up papers?
Well, I think I was quite pleased, really. Because it was like everybody else. But I think we're all in the same boat. Young and wanting to, well, an unknown world ahead of us, but, the war was, we had to do what we could at our age.
And was there that feeling at the time, you know, that you were all trying to do your best for...
I really think so. Oh, yes, I've recollections of... I think we're all just looking, not exactly forward, but just wondering what lay ahead, but quite pleased to go.
And was it in the September that you were called up, or was it later?
It wasn't long after my birthday. Earlier, the war had been started a little while, and went to the Gordon Barracks, which was a general place for local boys to go.
And so, were you a member of the Gordon Highlander Regiment?
Yes, I was for quite a long time.
And which battalion were you in?
In the first in those days.
And do you remember your initial feelings about the barracks, you know?
Well, it was a new world, but it was a kind of adventure in a way, because we were all of an age, more or less, and quite keen. It sounds a bit... so we're looking back, maybe we weren't so keen to begin with, but it was a new experience, and we're all in it together.
And... You were there doing your basic training, were you?
Yes.
And how long were you there for, do you remember?
Oh, I should imagine I've been there for 6 months to begin with, maybe. Anyway.
And did you share a room with a lot of others? Or?
Oh, yes, well, we shared stories. It was a new world for a lot of us. And we learned a lot from one another. And then, of course, we went our separate ways, of course, many of us. And didn't meet up maybe for quite a long time. Went to landed in different areas. And I just happened to land, of course, landed in this beautiful ship going out past Cape Town entertained by the people of Cape Town very lavishly, and then calling in at various places, and then of course going up towards Suez, and then that was the beginning of a new life, because very soon afterwards, they had been fighting, of course, before our time, but we came in, and Alamein was the finale of our sojourn there. Many lost, unfortunately, and those of us who survived were glad to be there.
And were you all the fighting at El Alamein?
I suppose I saw most of it. It was at, I remember the beginning, the barrage standing with some of our own folks who weren't just moving at that particular moment, but hearing the barrage, and you felt the earth shook.
And what was your rank in the army at that time?
I just started as an ordinary private, and I was never commissioned or through the usual setup and NCOs and so on, but I was commissioned after the war, of course, as a chaplain when I came home. But that was for many people, doctors and ministers and others, were called into the Territorial Army again, and I was in it as a chaplain for 36 years.
Now, before we actually started recording, you spoke about when you were at art college and, you know, starting to serve your time as an architect.
Oh, yes. Well, a very close friend who started with me in architecture. I had thought of arts and the church earlier on, and our own local minister thought I might land in that. But I was very keen on art, at school in particular too, and this chum and I landed in architecture, School of Architecture in Aberdeen, next to School of Art, and we had done, I presume, we'd have done just over 2 years, when of course age-wise we were called up. And that really, in a strange way, decided my future after Alamein. Because I ended up at a place called Geneva. I'd come out through the Red Sea, of course, and I'd voyaged out on this long journey to Egypt. But, of course, I started there and all the ups and downs before Alamein. That's an interesting story in between. But I'm speaking about even before hostilities, when he's meeting this Padre Lou, who had been a civil engineer before he became a minister. And of course he'd been a chaplain for some time. And there was a gesture at Geneva that something might be done to employ wounded men. And a start was made in a smaller way, but the bigger scheme was, of course, when men were left after Alamein, lucky enough to be spared their lives, that all different professions joiners, bricklayers, carpenters, even fine sculptors were left wounded, maybe not too seriously, but because Tommy Lowe, as we called him, had been in that profession himself as an engineer, a civil engineer, he really thought up the idea to get these wounded men together. Instead of, they were no longer able to be in any life, combat life, in anywhere in the region. And so the idea was fulfilled. And these men, when they were able, out of hospital, many of them, of course, discovered There's a Church of Scotland canteen at Abbasia near Cairo. It was an idea spot, of course, with a canteen there. But then the idea came that there was a spare bit of ground, and the idea came to build this church, because there was another church in the area, but it was a big area, and for the Church of Scotland congregation for the future, it was a really of Tommy Loves, as we called it, and he enlisted my services, and I dropped most of the plans myself, of course, with my own trading, which came in handy then. And of course, I got to know all the others, and that was our life for quite a while to come. And the foundation stone was laid in 43. Was it October, I think, in 43?
Okay. And do you know what these wounded men had been doing before? You know, when you said there had been something on a small scale originally, do you know what that was?
They had all been in their own trades pre-war and called up. Most of them finished their time, as we said, but called up into the services. And this brainwave was a wonderful idea, really, because it gave him back confidence in themselves. And working with them, I think we all thought, those of us associated with the scheme, that would bring them back confidence and maybe better health to get back to the professions again. All glad to be spared and be there, but rather than lead useless lives, do something to keep them occupied. We didn't know when the war would finish, but they were enabled. They were unfit for further active service. So that was how the scheme was brought out. And I think it brought the local people. And Cairo wasn't far away. Many of the Scottish people in the church there were interested. And the ACG, as we called him, was a minister, Church of Scotland minister. And he was very much interested in the project. And he, of course, with his own connections with the higher personalities, got them interested too, and so the idea was started. And the church was started on, and luckily it was finished.
Now, what does ACG stand for?
Assistant Chaplain General.
Okay. And do you remember that there was a big Scottish population in Cairo at the time?
Quite a big population in Cairo. Mm-hmm. And we used to meet up very often evening services, of course, because we'd visit even the weekend. We all had our Sundays, of course, too, but it was generally more in the later evening, because they had a good social centre at the church, and there were a lot of people, not necessarily Scottish, all over, but with links from home, and the old men is very welcome.
Okay. And you spoke as well about the Church of Scotland canteen, about this area where you did build the church.
Oh, yeah. We already had a canteen working there.
And was that just like what we would associate with a canteen? It would just be tea and coffee?
Yeah, not normal canteen, but there were social functions. I mean, the people who ran it, ministers from home maybe passing through. I remember there was one lady, I think she was a relative of the famous Lord Reith. She was with us quite a long time. And all wonderful people. And what they did was organise things, apart from just having a canteen. They would organise things for people. It was a good social community. And actually, the grounds were often full of people quite happily drinking tea together, getting to know each other, and many a new friendship was made there, apart from our boys.
And you know, you spoke about this lady coming out and the visiting ministers and that. And I would have thought, being 1943 and with a war going on, that it would have been quite difficult. But was this an area that was relatively safe?
It was a barracks. There are lots of other regiments round about. And even King Farouk had a palace not far away. It was a well-established garrison. So therefore, it was a safe area.
Okay, and was it where the British were stationed, or...?
Yes, mostly British people were stationed there. But of course, many of the local people were employed in different things. You know, as was normal with a lot of the Egyptian population, to keep things going, services. There was a big GHQ there, a lot of work going on there. And I got attached there myself, actually.
And
because you needed to be doing something. I mean, you're still, well, we like to think you're still doing something for the country, for the world.
So was this church actually within the garrison?
It was within the garrison, and indeed within the grounds of the canteen.
Okay.
And it seemed to be a suitable site, and we thought, well, where will we get the stone? Well, up the Nile, there was what they call the Tura caves, and you can think of the pyramids. The stone that we used was more or less the same. And we used to have transports going up on the road mainly along the Nile. And I remember finding a very old mallet, which must have been centuries old, when we were taking things out. And we got help from all the different units, of course, for transport. Everyone, and with the ACG and the Brigadier quite enthusiastic, there was no difficulty there.
And how did you very first get into it? Were you in the Gordons and you met Padre Lowe, or...?
I was in the Gardens and I met Padre Lowe not long after I landed at Geneva. Came up the normal Red Sea way, of course, and past Aden and all these places, and often wondered what the future might hold. But also I had been away from that area. I landed back there again when hostilities finished. And then our scheme got going. So it just came at a good time.
Okay. But how did you actually manage to get out of the Gordons into the GHQ?
As a soldier, I was still under our surveillance. They didn't forget about me.
But you know, how did you manage to get transferred? Did you ask for a transfer?
No, with the job I did, I landed in a clerical job, actually, in a particular GHQ, and I was transferred because of that. I think it was for convenience, because, we all had something, the result of the war, and we were all held together, and we just considered what we're going to do with it all. But I was maybe more active than most.
And these wounded men as well, were the hospitals within the garrisons, or were they quite near?
There were hospitals around, but the usual medical centre in the garrison, of course, but of course people were sent to, if they needed hospitalisation, that was not so far away.
Okay.
There was 15 Scottish hospital set up, for instance, of whom a sergeant I knew very well, and whom whose brother was claimed by him, renewed an old friendship. But that was by the way. But they took, a lot of these other people took an interest in the men we had, and of course, apart from the hard work during the day, they were appreciated by those around them, different units. I mean, we weren't broken away from our army associations, but for those men who were unable to go back to active duty, they had to, of course, find their health still hospitalized a bit, but as their health improved, they were able to sort of resume their professions, maybe with the help from others. But it was wonderful what happened in the end. It was built a church.
And did you actually do the drawings for the church?
Yes, I suppose I did. Well, between Padre Lowe and myself, but I didn't. I drew most of them out myself. Of course, a lot of working drawings and all that sort of thing too. It was quite a job getting back and remembering things.
And did you do that in your spare time, or did you do it during working hours?
Oh, working hours. I mean, in your spare time too. Oh, many a night was spent in doing things you couldn't do during a day.
And were you the only architect that was working on it, or was there other architects?
Yes, I was the only, well, student architect. But Padre Lowe had been a civil engineer. So we were together. And he enlisted my services, and I was grateful for his help, because a lot of the men I got, if I didn't know them all before, a lot of them I didn't know, and still know. Luckily, those were spared. Some, of course, have gone through the years, but some I still know. Luckily, they're back to their old lives, but like myself, advancing in years. But if they've gone themselves, I still have some connections with their families.
So you were actually with this church, if you like, from the very start, with Padre Lowe.
Yes.
And did the Church of Scotland take a lot of interest in it?
The Church of Scotland, both at home and abroad. I mean, the active congregation in Cairo was very interested, of course. But, of course, the Church of Scotland as a whole, they were quite proud of the fact that that men were being employed in something that would help them back to health, apart from building a church.
And did you have to, did they specify certain designs had to be used or anything? Or?
No, they left us, it was all looked on upon, finally passed as being suitable, I suppose, by other architects, but we felt quite happy within ourselves that we hadn't to change anything. We had the ground, we had the men, and there's a colonel down in the southern part of the continent who used to send us timber, very often part of airplane crates, all sorts of things, and somehow we managed to get some Iona marble, which we put underneath the communion table, very Scottish, and everyone's very willing, and I remember many visits were made to big depots, where I suppose we signed for everything. I think we did.
Did you acquire items?
We probably did acquire items. But the essential thing was to see the men getting on, and of course we all had something to do. I mean, we weren't just sitting waiting. We all managed to do something. And in one particular sphere, working drawings in particular kept you busy enough anyway. But when you think of the lack of men, very well qualified monumental masons, and the church was finished, went there, but round the walls you had the badges of all the units, both male and female units, beautifully done, and was one particular craftsman who took a great pride, and of course he was professional, and to think that he was able to do that, and I think his own remarks were, well, I'm glad to be able to do what I can, I'm here, and whatever I've been trained to do, I'm able to beautify the church. They were all keen to do what they could. It was an effort, a combined effort with all the different trades you can think of.
And was it just Scottish regiments that were involved with it?
Oh no, they weren't all Scottish regiments, though. We were quite broad-minded in that effect. Glad to get their help.
And you spoke about working drawings as well. Was there much influence from any planning departments or anything there?
No, we were working ourselves. We were able to do what we wanted ourselves. As long as it worked. And, Paddy Lowe, being a civil engineer, had a lot of experience of surveying things. I mean, I was just a student before, but I'd learned quite a bit.
And did the army help you with trucks or anything, you know, with...
Oh, yes. Any units around were willing to help. And it wasn't a case of borrowing... They might be on a run anyway and able to lift things. It wasn't specially laid aside. It was all within the working day, more or less.
So the foundations and that, would that have been some of the soldiers who would have dug those?
We did everything. We had very little outside help. But the staff, of course, were very willing to do what they could and enthusiastic about it. And the people who used to come and sit in the gardens when they were off duty were quite amazed, I think. And I think I used to see the boys waving to some of the ladies from the other units. I think that was an attraction.
And you mentioned that the foundation stone was laid in 1943.
Well, as far as we were concerned, none of our boys were... able to be employed as efficiently as they had been before, and their own regiments were willing to let us keep them, and the medical authorities were quite pleased that they were able to do something. After all, in some cases, was helping them back to health.
Okay.
And confidence again.
Mm-hmm. And so the men who generally came, you know, to help you, did they normally stay quite a long time and you know, see the project through, or did they just come for short periods?
Well, it was mostly within ourselves. I would say any help we got was within the garrison. The military, all military. People were quite enthusiastic. And of course, the Church of Scotland itself was pleased to know that not only having a canteen, which was very useful in an area like that, to give some enjoyment to people who had been having a difficult time before, to put it briefly. They were pleased to see the project coming on. And it brought a lot of people in to the canteen, I think, to watch.
And the foundation stone was laid in 1943. When was the actual church finished?
It would have been about... 10 months or so. I can't remember the exact date. I'll have it somewhere. But by that time, well, when you think of the end of the war coming, you see, it wasn't that far to go. The men were all sent back to units after the job was completed. And I also remember the last touch, somebody putting up a bell.
And you remember hearing the bell as well?
Yes.
Were you ever at a service with
them? Yes, and I've even taken a service occasionally as I was a student. I think they're all... I don't know if they're charmed altogether, but they were quite supportive.
And was that during the war that you took a service there?
Aye, because the war wasn't quite finished.
So you actually, did you start your training for the ministry before the war was finished?
Well, I was down to go back to college because I'd all the qualifications to go back, which of course I hadn't thought about completely, but when the war actually finished,